And then let me ask you to meet with me at 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. This sermon is very much a precursor, whatever that word means, to the class that's going to begin this Wednesday night here in the auditorium. As for the next 3 months, we're going to be looking at the subject of studying the Bible for all its worth and how to effectively study it. And this sermon is very much an introduction to that. 2 Peter chapter 3. The very last verse of the book, follow along very carefully. I'm reading from the English Standard Version. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity, amen. Now look back at the verse with me. Look at it. But grow. Now let's stop. The word grow there means increase. So we are here being instructed to increase into specific things. He says to increase in the grace and knowledge. Increase in grace and knowledge. Now, brethren, I hear a lot today about grace. Grace is favor that we receive from God that we do not deserve or do not earn. There is nothing that any of us could ever do to where God would be in our debt to do something for us. Grace is God giving to you and I what we need rather than what we deserve. Grace is what God does. Do you understand that? Grace is God's responsibility. Do you understand that? Grace, when we talk about grace, we usually accompany it with amen and hallelujah and praise the Lord and grace, grace, amazing grace, and grace and grace. I hear a lot today about grace. But you know what I don't hear a lot today about? Knowledge. Now, knowledge is our responsibility. You understand that? Knowledge is our part. Knowledge is what we do. Now, when we talk about grace, we usually put an exclamation point at the end of grace, but when we talk about knowledge, we're lucky if knowledge even gets a period. We want God to do His part, grace, while we ignore our part, knowledge. But brethren, what I am suggesting to you is this. Every Christian needs to make a commitment to increase their knowledge of the Word of God. Now, in order to do that, you might have to turn the television off and miss one of your television shows every night to do that. But if you turn that television off to just miss one of your shows a night to study the Bible, that would be a good thing. Now, take hold to the pew in front of you just like this. Steady yourself. But in order to grow in knowledge, Lord have mercy, what is he about to say? You may have to take your cell phone and put it here and walk into another room to be away from it so that you can concentrate on the studying and increasing your knowledge of the Word of God. But if you have to walk away from that thing for a few moments, if you got to shut down Facebook for a while, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. You can find out what whoever it is had for dinner later. We don't care what you have for dinner. I'm getting off. Here's what we know for sure. God spent 1,600 years putting together this book, you and I better find out what's in it. So this morning, look inside of the bulletin. You'll find an outline of the lesson. We want to take a look at the ABCs of how to study the Bible. First, the letter A. And A stands for aim. The aim of the Scripture. The aim of the Scripture. Now look at me carefully and you're going to get this. We have to remember why the Bible is here. There is a reason that God gave us the Bible. Now here it is. Here it is. The reason that God gave us the Bible was so that we could get to heaven. That's the aim of the Scripture. Look, that's it. That's it. And every time you pick up this book, and every time you read this or study this, what you got to put in your mind is that the aim of this book, the reason that God gave me this book, is so that I could get my no-account soul to heaven. Now, let me illustrate this and everybody understand. How many of you, show of hands, Don't raise your hand yet. You don't know what I'm going to ask you. How many of you own a GPS for your car? A GPS for your car. Okay. Now, all of my life, now listen to me, here's a great insight into me. All of my life, I have had absolutely no sense of direction. Now, I say that looking over here, and my wife is sitting over there smiling from ear to ear because she knows that. When I get ready to go somewhere, like to preach, I don't mean just out of state, but across town. When I get ready to go somewhere, I call them, they call me, and I write down with my long hand detailed directions on how to get there. Then, back in the day, I'd take those directions, and my wife would print out MapQuest. MapQuest is a Greek term for if you don't want to get to where you're going, follow this sheet of paper. So I'd take detailed instructions, I'd take MapQuest, so help me, may I die standing here. I would then stop from anywhere to 2 to 4 gas stations and get direction. It's true. Listen, I've done this many times, many times. I will go into a gas station and will say, look, I'm trying to get here. And the guy or the gal would say, well, you go here and there and here. I say, okay, I will travel 2 miles and get out and go into another gas station and say, look, I'm trying to get here. Well, you go north? No. No. No, I don't. Which way is that? So, some years ago, my son and daughter-in-law bought me a GPS for a car. Lord have mercy. All you do is punch in where you're going and then follow it. Follow it. When it says turn left, turn left. When it says turn right, turn right. When it says just keep going straight, you just keep going straight. And if you ever get off from its directions to where it's taking you, it will warn you. It will say, recalculate, recalculate. And so here it is. You just, this is where I'm going. Here is the directions. Just do what the directions say and you'll get to where you're going. Everybody got it? Here's the GPS. Follow the directions. When the Bible says don't do something, don't do it. When the Bible says do this, then do it. The Bible, this is it. All you do is follow it. And when you get off of its directions, it will tell you, recalculate, recalculate. The aim of the Bible is to get me to heaven. God is good. So now most of the place I go, I got 2 GPS systems. I got one that sits on the dashboard and one that sits in the passenger seat. And when I miss a turn, the one on the dashboard will say, recalculate, recalculate. And the one in the passenger seat will say, You missed the turn, dummy. You missed the turn, dummy. You missed the turn, dummy. The A is the aim of the Scripture. The aim of the Scripture is to get me to heaven. The reason God gave me the Bible is to get me to heaven. And every time I open it, I have to keep in my mind, now the aim of this is to get me to heaven. You got that? Now, oh, I want you to get this so bad. I want you to understand this. Now, I want to share with you two descriptions of the Bible to show you what its aim is. There are two descriptions of the Bible we want to look at. First of all, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 19, listen to the description the Bible gives to itself. Verse 19, that is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to Himself. Now pause and look at me. Throughout time, God was doing something. God, through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, was reconciling the world to Himself. Now keep going. Not counting their trespasses against them. Now here it is. And entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. What is the Bible? The Bible is a message of reconciliation. Listen. This is a word of reconciliation. Now, what does reconcile mean? Reconcile means to bring back together. Reconcile means to reunite a relationship. You know what reconcile means. Here is a husband and wife who separate. Then somebody comes to you and says, this husband and wife have reconciled. Well, what does it mean they reconcile? It means they have come back together and they have reunited. You got it? The Bible is a message of reconciliation. The message of this Bible is to tell me, is to explain to me what has been done by God all the way down through time and what still needs to be done by me in order that I can enjoy a wonderful relationship with God. You got it? When I read the Bible, I have to keep that aim in my head. This book is about me getting back in a right relationship with God. This is about me getting back to God so that I can go to heaven. That's what the aim of it is. Let's look at the second verse. Turn to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 13. Hebrews 5, verse 13. For everyone who lives on milk, now it's talking about the word, for everybody who lives on milk is unskilled, watch it, in the word of righteousness. What is the Bible? The Bible is a word of righteousness. It is a message of being right with God. Listen. This isn't brain surgery. The Bible is what gets me right with God. The Bible is what helps me to make the decisions that I need to make to be right with God. Now let's put these two verses together. The aim of the Bible, is to get me back to God and then keep me back with God. You got that? A is the aim of the Scripture. The aim of the Scripture is to get me back in this wonderful relationship with God. The aim of the Scripture is to keep me in that relationship with God. The aim of the Scripture is to get me there, keep me there, so that I can go to heaven when I die. And every time I pick that book up, I need to say, this is what the aim is. Now, wait a minute. I'm fine. Here's what I'm afraid of. I know what God's aim is in giving me the Bible. I just explained it. What I'm afraid of is that our aim when we go to the Scripture isn't nearly as noble as God's aim is. Amen. The aim of some people when they go to the Scripture is to gather up in ammunition so they can win an argument with somebody. The aim of some people when they go to the Bible is to gather up some verses so that they can beat somebody over the head with it, as if that is an aim that God ever intended for His Word to have. The aim that some people have when they go to the Scripture is they've got to find a verse that is going to justify their questionable behavior because they're doing something they know isn't right, but I got to find a verse in here somewhere that will ease my conscience about this. The aim of the Scripture is to get me to heaven, and every single time I pick it up and study it, I must ask myself, what is this passage telling me that will improve my relationship with God? Second letter is B. See, you come here, you get deep stuff. It's A, and then it's B. Stay with me. Second letter is B. B stands for background. There is the aim of the Scripture. Then there is the background of the Scripture. Now here it is. Every time I pick up the Bible, I must be aware of the background of the passage that I'm reading. You say, well, how do you do that? In order to understand the background of a passage, there are three questions that must be asked and answered. Question number one is who? Who wrote this? Now listen to me. Listen. God is the author of all of it. all 66 books. But God used human agents, men, in order to write it down, and God's Spirit guided them to ensure that what they wrote down was right and that it was the will of God. So I must ask myself, who wrote this? The second question I have to ask myself in getting to the background is whom? W-H-O-M, whom? To whom was this written? Now, listen very carefully. The whom is going to surprise you. Did you hear what I said? The whom is going to surprise you. I'm not going where you think I am. The whom is going to surprise you. Now, turn your Bible to 2 Timothy chapter 3. You will be so glad you did. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Now I'm going to ask you some questions and you're going to answer them. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All Scripture. Question, how much of the Scripture? How much of it? Does that include every book? Does that include every chapter? Does that include every verse? Ask all of it. All Scripture is breathed out by God. Now, what does that mean? That means that all of it came from God. Every word of it came from God, watch it, and is profitable. The word profitable there literally means beneficial. So, this book, all of which came from God, all of it which came from God is beneficial. Well, what is it beneficial for? Look at the verse. It's beneficial for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. Now, give pause and look at me. Every single word of the Scripture came from God. It came from God to be beneficial, to teach us, to tell us when we're off track, to help us get back on track, and to train us in what we ought to do. I know all that, but I still haven't found out whom all this was written to. Keep going. For training in righteousness, verse 17, that the man of God. Now look at me, let's put it together. All of the Scripture is how much? It's every bit of it. Every bit of it came from where? Came from God. It is beneficial to teach. To tell us when we're wrong, tell us how to get back right, and to train us in how we ought to live. And who is the whom to whom it was written to? The man of God. Now listen to me. Listen, listen. The whom is the person who is already a Christian. It's the man and woman of God. The whom to who the Scripture is written, the whom is the man and the woman who is already in a relationship with God. It was written to the whom is the man and the woman of God. You say, but now I have heard, now listen to me, someday you and I will get together and we'll talk about what you heard, but right now let's talk about what God said about it. All of it which came from God is to be beneficial, and it's to be beneficial to whom? It is to be beneficial to the man and woman of God, to those who are in a right relationship with God already. Now listen. There are parts of the Bible that are written to introduce us to Jesus. That's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Four books. They introduce me to Jesus, and when I believe it, that creates my faith in Jesus. There's a book in the Bible that was written to explain to me how we can become men and women of God. That's the book of Acts. The purpose of the book of Acts, the purpose of the book of Acts is to give us a divine, God-given instruction on how we become men and women of God. And if you take the conversions out of the book of Acts, what you have left ain't a whole lot. So some of it, four books, introduce me to Jesus. One of those books tell me over and over and over and over again how I become a man of God. But then the next 21 books teach me how I live my life in such a way as to be right and to stay right with God. And every time I pick this up and read it, I got to keep in mind this was written for me to get me right with God, to keep me right with God, and to get me to heaven as a man of God. So there is who, there is whom, and the third question I have to ask to get the background is why? Why was this written? Now, I'm going to surprise you. The why is a surprise too. Look at verse 17, 2 Timothy 3, look at verse 17. That the man of God or woman of God may be complete. Why was it written? It was written so that the man and woman of God could be fully equipped, that they could be complete in their efforts to do the will of God with their lives. That's why it was written. A is the aim. It's getting me to heaven. B is the background. Well, I got to ask and answer three questions. Who wrote it? To whom is it written to? And why did they write it? You got the three questions? Now, quickly, we're going to look at an example. Turn to the book of 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Come on now, don't give up on me here. 1 Peter chapter 1, let's find out the who, the whom, and the why. Look at verse 1. Peter, whoa, I know who. Who's the who? Peter. You say, well, that doesn't tell me. There are a lot of Peters in the Bible. We still don't know which one it is. Well, let's keep reading. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? I kept reading and it told me which Peter. It's the Apostle Peter, Simon Peter. Now, we've already answered the first question. That's the who. Now, let's see if we can find out the whom. Verse 1. To those who are the elect exiles of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Now, my version says those of the dispersion. Yours may talk about the word those who are scattered, or yours may use some other term. Here's what it's talking about. It's talking about Jewish Christians who originally in their life they lived in a place called Palestine, and specifically they lived in the southern part of Palestine in a little city known as Jerusalem. But they were scattered from their homeland in Jerusalem throughout other parts of the world, including Asia, Cappadocia, Bithynia. You got it? Now I know who. Now I know whom, Jews that were scattered. Now why? Look at chapter 4 and verse 16. Turn the page. Chapter 4 and verse 16. Yet, if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God. Now here is the whole book. The book was written by an apostle. It was written to Jews that had been scattered because of persecution they had undergone at home through many centuries. And the reason why it was written so that they would know how to handle their suffering in such a way as to bring glory to God in their suffering. Brethren, that's the book of 1 Peter. That's it. It was written by an apostle. It was written to Jews who had been scattered from home because of persecution. And the reason he wrote it is so that they would understand that even in the midst of suffering, we as God's people must live our lives in such a way as to honor and glorify God. See. And I'm not going to preach this point. We're going to get to it on Wednesday nights, but I want you to know what it is. A is the aim of the Scripture. It's to get me from earth to heaven. Period. B is the background. Who wrote it? Who did they write it to? And why did they write it to? C is context. The context of the Scripture. Now, this one sentence and we close. This one sentence and we go to the close. You can take the Bible. You can make the Bible say anything if you don't keep it in context. Anything. If you pull out a verse here and then yank out one over here and then pull out one over here and then try to stand them up divorced of their context, you can make the Bible say anything if you don't keep it in context. So here's the conclusion. A is the aim of the Scripture. The reason God gave it to me was to get me from here to heaven. The aim. When I read it, I got to keep that in mind. What is this teaching me about how I can get myself to heaven? B, the background of it. Who wrote this? Who did they write it to? Why did they write it? You answer those three questions about a passage and you are way down the road understanding it. And C is the context. In order for us to understand the true meaning of a verse and the true meaning of a passage, we have to understand it in the context that God put it in. Now here it is. Brethren, the Bible is not a toy. This is from God. And in this, listen to me, God is seeking to have a relationship with you. Now, you say, but God is all-sufficient and God doesn't need anything I have. And that is absolutely correct. Then why would He, who is completely and wholly self-sufficient, seek a relationship with somebody like me? And the only answer I have to that is it has to have something to do with His love. God is love, 1 John 4. God is love. What does that mean? That means that the basic nature of God is love. And so what God does out of love. So God, in this book, is seeking to have a relationship with you and with me because of His love. But you can never have that relationship. You will never, ever have that relationship without this book. You can never get from where you are in that pew to where God is in heaven without this book. God took 40 men, 1,600 years to write this. We've got to make a commitment to increase our knowledge of this book. It begins by you taking the first step, and that first step is becoming a New Testament Christian. It's hearing the gospel. Hearing the gospel, Jesus then said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." That's first step. Well, what do I do after that? Well, don't worry about what you do after that. You worry about first step. If you're here this morning as a Christian and you've walked away from God, if you've walked away from God, you've walked away from this book. And if you've walked away from this book, you need to think about what you've done. If you're here, I'm pleading with you to make a commitment to this book. If you need to respond, God help you to do it right now as together we stand and as we sing.